Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056. Or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. All right. We'd like to welcome everybody once again. One more day, one more week of Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. We'd like to welcome everybody in, everybody that's tuned in and listening today. We want to say thank you to Elder Oliver, our engineer for Praise Tabernacle, getting us on board for another day, another week. I hope everybody's week is going well. And again, we got a great night of Bible study with our own, we like to affectionately call him Rabbi, great teacher, man of God. He's going to share with us tonight and bring the word and lead us in Bible study tonight, Elder Victor Bluett. I'm not sure if Evangelist Stanton is on yet or not, but we're going to move on and let Elder Bluett lead us and guide us in Bible study tonight. And again, I just want to say thank you to Elder Oliver and his wife for getting us on board and everybody that's tuned in tonight. Looking for a good word from God. And then we're going to do a quick prayer, and the next voice you will hear will be our own Elder Victor Bluett. So Lord, we thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord God. We thank you for yet another day, another a brand new mercy and a brand new grace. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, dear Lord. And we just say thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And we love you and all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Elder Victor Bluett.
Amen. A blessing to be alive. Amen. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for this platform. Thank you, Elder Taylor, for that entry. Amen. I want to come out of the book of Second Thessalonians. I believe last time when I spoke, it was out of Thessalonians, and I want to continue that tonight. Second Thessalonians, starting at chapter 2. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2. Last time I spoke, I believe we discussed about pastors and leaders, ministerial staff, looking out for the church, the congregation, the welfare of others, especially in these times that we're in now. To that, I also want to say, and it'll be in line with what we'll talk about tonight, About you got a lot of folk talking about these are the end times, or God or Jesus is coming back now, or people going through trials and tribulation right now. So the Thessalonian church ran across this issue too. 1 Thessalonians was given to that church from Paul, teachings,
right,
talking about the day of God or the day of the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians, he's kind of repeating 1 Thessalonians or what had happened between the two writings to the church. So 1 Thessalonians, he discussed things with them, taught them, appreciated them. And in between the time it took to write 2 Thessalonians, some things had happened. And
right,
and that's where we get at tonight, of what happened between the writings of these two books that Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, or the Thessalonian church. So 2:1 kind of goes over the day of the Lord with them, reminding them that he had taught them about this. So some, again, some things had happened between the two writings of the books. So we're at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2:1. Here's how Paul starts it off, talking to them about this subject. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So what he's referring to right now is that there have been some erroneous teachings, some erroneous writings, some wrong prophetic things going on that just about convinced the Thessalonians that the day of the Lord was at hand right now, because right now they were still going through trials and tribulations from those areas that was trying to prosecute them for being new Christians. So again, 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is his subject. This is what he's going to talk about. This is what they've been murmuring about. This is where they've been perplexed about. And by our gathering together unto him. So we want to talk. So he's saying, I want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus, the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then I want to also talk to you about us gathering to him or at the last times. So he's going into what they've been erroneously taught. So 2 of 2 Thessalonians, 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. So that you be not soon shaken in mind. You know how we get troubled, how we get perplexed, how we don't fully understand things, and how we can have us thinking different ways, how we can have us rattled, shaken, not ourselves, can't even have a good conversation with those who know us and they know something's wrong with us. So the Thessalonians had some issues mentally and physically, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Don't be disturbed by what you heard about what was erroneously taught to you, knowing that I told you beforehand that these things would be, and when they would be, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, meaning no prophecy other than what I told you, by no demon other than what I told you, nor by word or somebody teaching the wrong word. How many of you have been in a church or been at a gathering, and there's a pastor or a teacher or a preacher, whoever it may be, teaching the word, and you know that word to be wrong? Are babes in Christ, hearing the word and running with what was taught or preached. I particularly have a problem with that myself, because what you teach, most people will run with and practice that. And the one thing we don't want to do is practice the wrong meaning of the word of God. You got something to tell the table?
No.
Soon shaken in mind or troubled or be troubled. neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. And what Paul is getting at when he says, nor by letter as from us, and somebody may have falsely written a letter with his name on it. See? It's something about a church that has a good pastor, has good leadership, that if I was to write a false letter and put our pastor's name on it, see, the people would believe it. Why? Because the pastor preaches the truth. Follow what I'm saying? If Elder Taylor always spoke the truth, always did what was right, always did according to what the people needed, always was doing the right thing, and I wrote a letter saying something else, but I put his name to it, could be messed up because they're going to believe that letter because whose name on it? Elder Taylor's. So you follow what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, and they have to be accountable too.
Huh?
Can I say something real quick? You know,
the people
have to be accountable too. They have to know the word as well, so that they won't be easily shaken and they won't be easily troubled or deceived. You know, because it, like in our church, if we don't never study and we don't never study to show ourselves approved, if we don't never read the word and study it and break it down, then it's like, although our pastor would never do this, but he can just tell us anything and we can believe it and take it and run with it and believe it be true because we're not studying ourselves. Could it be so that these Thessalonians, maybe they wasn't studying the way that they should have been studying or in the church the way that they should have been in church, and that's why Paul had to come back again with another epistle to encourage them, to inform them, don't be deceived, you know? The thought that came to my mind is
that's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because at this time in history, they didn't have what we have. They only had the epistle that the apostle gave them. They didn't have nothing else. They had Old Testament parchments to go through, but this New Testament is different from the Old Testament. They only had what Paul gave them. So if somebody else come in, Paul's name on it, see how they can believe that now?
Yeah.
They didn't have the ammunition that we have today. So Paul says three different ways. So he says that you be not shaken in mind or troubled or be troubled, neither by spirit, demonic or spiritually or prophetic, nor by word of somebody preaching or teaching, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. So like we just wrote that the day of Christ is at hand, because see, now they're shaken and they're moved and they're troubled because they think right now the day of Christ is at hand. That's why he's addressing them this way. They think that the end times now. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's why he put that way. So verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. So he's still talking in that direction of somebody else did something. And even today, we got people, like I was saying earlier, that, the day of the Lord is at hand. The end times are now. This, that, and the other. This is going on. Why would God let people die? So the other question should be, why would he let people live? Why is people going through trials and tribulations? So the other question is, why are people going through blessings? So the end times the end times is not going to contradict itself where people are getting blessed and then are living and dying. Living and dying, it's not going to be a contradiction when the day of the Lord comes. So let no man deceive you by any means. They shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of prediction. And he had taught this First Thessalonians. So I know Paul is kind of messed up to where I taught you this, you believe this, you gave your life for this gospel, and now somebody else comes along and teaches you something else. Now your mind is messed up. Now you're troubled. And it's kind of weird how, and it's just like teaching somebody, say, kindergarten, that level, where you teach them. And the kids that participate in class by asking questions, by raising their hands to get more meaning, learn. And those who sit there and just hear don't really get it. Right. Folks in church like that right now. We got a lot of folks in our houses like that now. We got a lot of folks in the world like that now that would not participate in the lesson, not participate in what's going on in life. They just sit around and lodge. And then when something comes around, they're shaken. They're moved. They're messed up. If when their finances disappear, they're messed up. When their finances go away, they're messed up. They have no foundation. Mm-hmm. They have no faith. They have no belief. So if Paul taught them, why are they soon shaken now? Now they're at the point where they think the day of Christ is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. Christ is at hand. So verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Whichever way they try to deceive you, whichever way they try to put the word of God, whatever they try to take out of the word of God, whatever they try to put in the word of God, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. So the day of the Lord is not yet, and he's telling them this specifically. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that yeah. man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's talking about the Antichrist. See, there's a lot of things that got to happen before the end times. A lot of things got to happen, even now. And this is what it's talking about right now. In about 2 minutes, we're going to take a break. So this is what's going on now. You got people saying that the world is at the end. This, that, and the other is happening. No. For those of you who know your Bible, for those of you who read your Bible and study your Bible and ask God to give you more, even more understanding of your Bible, you know that the end times are not yet. It's then, and this is being taught now. So let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Did you know the angels don't even know when that day will come? How can a man know?
That's right.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. But right now we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to 2 Thessalonians right after this break.
The name of this song is just simply Total Praise.
At this time, we're going to do an offertory appeal for any and all that would like to take this opportunity to give to the kingdom, to give to Praise Tabernacle Church. There are a couple ways that you could give, and the Cash App is one way at hashtag PTC877. And there also is a phone number that you could call if you want to use a debit card or a credit card. And that number would be 678-760-6056. Again, if you would like to use a credit card or debit card given to the ministry, that number would be 678 760-6056. And for those that would like to use Cash App, again, that is hashtag PTC877. And we ask that you give with a loving and giving heart and not begrudgingly, and just give with the heart of the Lord. Amen. And at this time, we're going to turn it back over to the hands of Elder Victor Blewett.
Amen, amen. Let's not put the hashtag on it. Put that dollar sign on that now. Put that dollar sign on it. Amen. All right, so we're in 2 Thessalonians. Yes, sir. We're in 2 Thessalonians, we're in chapter 2. Paul is speaking to the church or the Thessalonians about somebody that had taught them or came behind Paul's teaching them about the day of the Lord or the end times. And they thought they were in the end times now because they're living in a troubled area where they're prosecuted, they're traumatized. They got a lot of things going on outside of the church, and they got those trying to infiltrate the church to change what the gospel says. So right now we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. We'll go right into 4. So let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, or the end times shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, talking about the Antichrist, not Satan. Satan is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a man. So verse 4, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God. And this man, under the power of Satan, will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. And this will happen. This is also in the book of Revelation. Read that book. Do not be scared of that book. Study that book. All the books of the Bible are in that book. Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man, not Satan, is not the Antichrist, but there will be a man that will be the Antichrist. Satan will...
Right.
Hold on a second. Satan will give this man that is called the Antichrist power to make it feel that he is God himself sitting in the temple of God. These are true. This is in the Bible. This is true. And you would think no man could think he could do that, but this man will do that. This man will do that. Right? Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. How many times have we been taught something and we turn around and do it wrong? How many times have we been taught something and we do it a different way? How many times have somebody showed us in life how to do something in life, and when they come back around, we're doing it totally wrong? How many times, see, with all our under, all our getting, all of our receiving, all of our studying, all of what we do, we need to get an understanding. Each soul on this earth, each soul in this earth has to speak for itself. In the day of judgment, each soul has to defend itself against all rulers of God. Each soul is independent. You are independent. You have to get an understanding. And I'm not putting anybody down, but if you're listening, you still have a chance to get an understanding. I can't speak for you. You can't speak for me when that day comes. Paul is telling them that day is not yet, and he's telling them why it's not yet, because it's now with trials and tribulations that they're going through right now. How many people you know, even people we don't know, are going through some things in their life right now that are so bad that they may mention, oh, these must be the last times. Or this is going on, or Jesus is coming tonight, or he's coming tomorrow, because things are so bad in their life. with these teachings, we don't have to be that way. I beg everybody to just get in the Bible. Throw yourself in there and let God put your head above the water, above the things you don't understand. Let God lift you up that you can breathe even though you're immersed in the Bible, in the Word. It's a lot of good stuff
right.
in the book. A lot of good
yes,
stuff
it
in
is.
The book. If you got anything, Elder Taylor, I'm going to read verse 5. I'm going to see if you got anything.
Okay.
Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. You good, Elder Taylor?
I'm good. Well, it just kind of reminds us of how when pastors in the church and when we were all congregating together in the building and you know, he would get frustrated at times. And I kind of see where Paul is going to be a little frustrated, you know, right along here, you know, because he's telling you, I done told you these things and y'all still not getting it right, you know. And I could see how a leader or a pastor, how a pastor could feel at times where he instructs us and through the word and people still don't get it. People still don't understand. You go away, you know, just like I try to train my dog and I'm trying to train him to do the right things and then I come back and check on him. He's still doing the thing wrong. And that's kind of like what Paul is saying here. You know, it's a scripture I can't think of, Elder Blewett, but it's going to come to me as we go along. But, you know, it's about who beseeched you, who tricked you, you know, who came along and tricked you, who hoodwinked you, you know, who's saying these things to you where I've already told you and taught you and showed you over in First Thessalonians. And you guys
yeah,
are
yeah.
still not getting it right.
Yeah, that's
I'm gonna find the scripture as you go along. Finish your teaching. I'm gonna find the scripture.
Go over to Second Galatians, where it says, "Oh foolish." Yeah, go to Second
yeah,
Galatians.
That's it. Galatians.
So verse 6. So Paul had told him about these things, and you had mentioned pastor how he may get upset or get troubled about people still doing things a certain way. Is that a pastor's job? Is your soul, and the more that we reverse the teachings, reverse the preachings, and stay as we are, the harder it is. Well, we don't know how he doesn't know how much time we have left to get it right. So I can understand the
right.
frustration, right?
Right.
Every Sunday, I promise. So let's go to verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. And now you know. Withhold it that he might be revealed in his time. So now ye know withhold it that he might be revealed in his last time. Right now, the Antichrist cannot come forward, being held back by God. And we'll see that again in verse 7. So verse 6, and now ye know what withhold it that might be revealed in his last time. This is holding, he's being held back right now. And this is by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost of God. There's some things that's going to happen in the future. And we don't know. The future could be tomorrow. But there's some things that's going to happen in the future that's being held back from happening right now. And that's under the hand of God right now. So the man of prediction or the son of prediction, which is the Antichrist, cannot come forward, cannot start this process because he's being held back by the Spirit of God. So verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So it's the fall of man in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. Since the fall of man, iniquity doth already work. We have issues going on right now. We have abominations going on right now. We have anything that's not of God going on right now. But it's not at a level where the end times are, and it's going to get worse. So, yeah, it could run across your mind that these may be the end times because of what we're seeing now, what we're hearing now, what people are doing to kids, what kids are doing to parents, and what, how people are treating each other, how people are killing each other, seem like without even a second thought. So the things of for the mystery of iniquity does already work. It's already going on right now, but it's just not at its fullness yet. And who can imagine it's going to get worse than this? And it is. It's going to get worse than this. Already not believe right now, are we really not going to believe it then? So verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth was let until he be taken out of the way. So who is the he? There's a lot of conversations about who is this he that letteth. But we know that it is God himself that letteth, that he let these things go on right now. And we know that all things work together for them who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together, right? What we think is wrong, what we think is right, all works together for our good. And most of our good is going to be at the end in eternity with Jesus Christ. That's the most good we're going to ever see. But everything, all things work together for them who are called according to his purpose. Now, they ain't working together for everybody that ain't called. If you have not given your life to Christ, it ain't working for you. But God looks on, on everybody. He still takes care of you. But think of how much care you would get if you would just bow down to God, if you would give your life to Christ, if you would accept the gospel in your life. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then in verse 8, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So Paul gets to it now. Here's the meat and potatoes of what they've been thinking, of what they the Thessalonians have been scared of or troubled in mind about. And then shall that wicked be revealed. When God takes his holding away, when God lets this thing happen, this is what Paul is saying now. When God lets this, let the Antichrist come forward. Not Satan, who is not the Antichrist, but a man who will be the Antichrist or who is the Antichrist being held back by God right now that he cannot come forward. Paul is speaking in verse 8 saying, and then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. And he goes directly. So when that man is revealed, Paul is telling the Thessalonians, he's telling us right now, In the latter part of 8, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He gets immediately to that. So when he's revealed, he's letting the Thessalonians know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Then shall the wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume. Now, consume in this context don't mean kill. It just means destroy. Of the word consume in verse 8, does it mean kill? We would think it means kill the Antichrist. No, it means destroy or subdue with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him in verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So it's the Antichrist is not Satan. The Antichrist right. is a man. And that man has a number on him, which is 6, 3, 4, and 6, which means it's saying simply 666. That's the number of the man. Even him who's right. coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Have you ever met a person lie so good it almost sounds like it's the truth? At this time in history, yeah. when this time happens, it's going to be that. It's going to be that. But verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, Satan is generating all this. Satan is giving the man power. Satan is creating an atmosphere through this man that all power and signs, and with all powers and signs and lying wonders. You know, and it's people right now for signs. It's people that are looking to the sky, the stars, the moon, people that are going to what you call them, charmers or hand readers. Huh?
Yeah.
soothsayers and all of that. It's people right now that are going to. Think about when the end times comes, or when God takes his hand off of Antichrist and he starts roaming this earth and he starts convincing people with lying wonders and power, all power and signs, able to do those things like God can do, which God does, but it'll be like, but it won't be 10. We're almost done for tonight, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. There's going to come a point, and see, let me clear this up with everybody right now, if I can. It's not going to be at any time that you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, we know when Jesus was crucified, he had two male characters with him. One of them railed on Jesus, and the other one was saved by Jesus. That's not what this is saying, and that's not what I'm saying. That wasn't the end times.
Right.
This in verse 10, I'm talking about the end times, when it's all going to be done, said and done, and Jesus comes back, and that's it. So verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, people that are going to take what the Antichrist says, people that's going to believe in the Antichrist, people that's going to worship the Antichrist, people that's going to lift him up instead of lifting up God, people that's going to believe in him instead of believing in the gospel. And with all deceivableness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, meaning the gospel, that they might be saved, the gospel, that they might that might be saved. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, this is what these people are going to be doing in them that perish and them that go to hell, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. These folk are done. These folk that have not accepted Jesus Christ in their life are done. This is plainly telling us, it's over. You cannot say, I now believe in Jesus Christ. It is over. And for this cause, verse 11, and for this cause, because you did not believe, and for this, see, these first four words of verse 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. In other words, it's going to come a time when God himself say, I'm done. I can't help you no more. I don't want you no more. You don't belong to me. It's going to come a time. You got anything on the table?
Yeah, I have a question for sake of the people that may be listening that may have the kind of this question. Is this going to happen post-rapture or pre-rapture or taking away of the church?
When the rapture comes, those who are in Christ will be taken up before the tribulation.
Right.
By grace are you saved? So that's a great question. So people always say, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. And then people normally think, well, I just need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. Saved from the tribulation that's coming. That's what that means.
Right.
Saved from the tribulation that's coming. For those who are in Christ will be saved from the tribulation before it starts. That's mm-hmm. why Paul is trying to reassure the Thessalonians, you know what? You believed. You showed your love. And because you believed and you had faith in Christ, you did the work for one another, you did the work for others around you, you went out of your church, you got others saved, you're helping out. Paul is saying, you don't have to worry about when that day comes. We don't have to worry about when that day comes. We will not see the tribulations. We won't go through what others are going to go through that are not saved. A lot of people are scared to read the book of Revelation because it trembles them. It should not at all tremble them. They shouldn't be shaken in mind. If we believe and trust in God right now, we need to believe mm-hmm. that all the way through. That's why I said earlier, get you a study Bible, King James Version Bible. Study the Word, and with all thy getting, get an understanding. Mm-hmm. So when things do start to happen, and you think it's that's this time or that time, if you know the Word of God, you know that it's not. Trust God in His promise. That if you give your life to Him, He'll save you at the end time. You good, Elder Taylor?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to be quick tonight. This might be over here. We ain't got but two verses. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe it, believe a lie. Now, what I said earlier about it's going to come a time when God says He's not going to accept you're calling Him. He's not going to accept that now you believe the gospel. Verse 11 says that. Verse 11 says that. And for this cause, because you did, and for this cause is referencing verse 10 right above it. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie that Christ is saying at that time. You have to give your life to Christ. I don't want to know of a life that perishes. I don't want to know of a person that was right in their mind and did not give their life to Christ. Mm-hmm. And for those of you listening, please stop investigating something that can't save you, something that could not keep your mind on Christ. Only way. And He's telling us tonight, it's going to come a point, it's going to come a time when I will not accept you. But at this very moment, He has His arms wide open, waiting for you to run to Him. And I promise you this, and I'm going to promise you this, because it happened to me. If you run into the arms of God, and He closes His arms around you, you'll never feel that feeling nowhere else. And you'll look for that feeling the rest of your life. It's okay. A feeling that when you're crying, and have you laughing at the same time. And you'll be so confused that your emotions will be just messed up because of what He gives you that no man on earth can give you. That God can reach inside and touch your heart, that you will believe the gospel, believe the truth, believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and was resurrected, and now sits on the right hand of God until God all His enemies His footstool. It would really hurt me if God would let me see a soul perish. I'm a simple man. I was astray. I ran astray. I was messed up before I knew God. And I thought I didn't want to give up what I had to be with God. I thought I would miss it. But everything I laid, mm-hmm. everything, every time I laid something down, God filled the empty spot. Every time I laid something down that was not His, He put something in my hands that was His.
Yes.
God is faithful. God is so faithful. God is faithful. I would hate to see a soul perish that had the information that could save their life throughout all eternity. So verse 11, we're going to 12, and then that'll be it. And for this cause, because they did not believe the gospel, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all, in verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Are you even happy? Are you even happy? Do the things, are the things that we're doing that's not of God, are we happy? Well, and I'm going to tell you no, because you're going to always look for the next best thing. And the only best thing is God and his son, Jesus Christ. Get some of that in your life. Get some of God, get some of his son in your life. You'll never be the same. You'll never want nor desire to go back to where you came from. I promise you that. I promise you that. I promise you that. So we're done early tonight. Taylor, if you want to see if anybody want to come to Christ or not, there's some of you. Lead them real quick. Even if one soul is saved, that's fine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. All right. Thank you, Elder Blue Red. Again, another great Bible study with our very own Victor Blue Red. He's a great teacher. Like I said, we affectionately call him Rabbi because of his teaching skills and how the Lord uses him. And we just say thank you, Elder Blue Red, for letting the Lord use you tonight in another Bible study. It's been a great, great Bible study. And we just prepared for the week. We got Pastor and Bishop Omar Zachary will be on Block Talk Radio on Friday as well as Facebook Live. So those of you that tuned in tonight, tune in again on Friday with our Pastor Bishop Omar Zachary. He'll be on it, I believe it's at 7 o'clock. And then again, we'll be back again on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. with Praise Tabernacle Church, where our pastor will again will be coming forth, or ladies after one of them, because I believe it's fifth Sunday. I believe one of them will be coming, I believe she may be coming forth, I'm not sure. But whoever it is, tune in anyway and get the word from the Lord. And again, we'd like to thank our engineer, Jed Oliver, and his lovely wife for the work they do in support of Praise Tabernacle Church and allowing us to witness all over the world, all over the United States, to people that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I just thank God for that. And if you don't know the Lord, now is the time to get to know him. Now is the time to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord was raised on that third day by the Father, by God. And you should come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess my sin. And I ask that you come into my heart. Make my heart of stone a heart of flesh, that I can receive you as my Lord and my Savior. It's just as simple as that. And begin to walk with Jesus and begin to live the life that he ordained you to live. Get into his word. Understand what the word is saying. Allow the Holy Ghost to come in and to mature you. Allow the Holy Ghost to come in and teach you through his word. Find you a good pastor, like our own pastor, and be taught and live the life that God will want you to live. Because, as Elder Blue said, we don't want to see anybody damned to a life of hell. Said it would hurt him if he saw a soul lost. And the Lord should hate to see a soul lost. Whether it be a family member or someone we work with or someone at Walmart. So, trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Believe in what you heard tonight. That we're not in the end times, according to the word. We're not there yet. a lot of things got to happen first for Elder Beard taught us tonight. A lot of things got to happen. If you know your word, you read your word, you study your word, you shouldn't be shaking in your mind. You shouldn't be troubled right now because you know I have a relationship with Jesus and I know what his word says.
Amen.
All right. All right. So, Elder Blue, again, thank you, my brother. Great word again tonight. And we're ending up just a little early. So if there be nothing else, we'll close out with a quick prayer. The Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for my brother, the Victor Bluett. We pray that you restore the virtues that he gives out for your glory. Renew him, revive him, restore him and his family, Lord God. And we pray that you do the same for all the ministerial staff that is listening tonight throughout Praise Tabernacle Church. And the absence of our pastor, Lord God, we pray that you continue to watch over him, his wife, his children, Lord God, and then we can all come back together on Friday and Sunday, Lord God. We pray for every family that's out there listening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you may be out there in the world today, tonight, we pray for you. We pray that the Lord will strengthen you, strengthen your home, strengthen your family, strengthen everybody that you know and love and care about. We ask that the Lord will continue to deal with you. And all these things we pray in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And before we leave, we always like to quote Scripture, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen, beloved. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Amen.